Let's turn to Acts chapter 5. Now that the sanctuary is bigger, EMP looks smaller. Acts chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, kept back some of the price for himself and his wife's full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men arose and covered him up, and after carrying him out, they buried him. And there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter responded to her, tell me, whether you sold the land for such and such a price? And she said, yes, that was the price. Then Peter said to her, why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at your door, and they shall carry you out as well. And she fell immediately at his feet and breathed her last. The young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church, and upon all who heard of these things. At the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. But none of the rest dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number, to such an extent that they even carried the sick out in the streets, laid them on cots and pallets, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. And also the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. But the high priest rose up along with all his associates, that is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy. They laid hands on the apostles and put them in a public jail. But an angel of the Lord during the night opened the gates of the prison, and taking them out, he said, go your way, stand and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this life. And upon hearing this, they entered into the temple about daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest and his associates had come, they called the council together, even all the senate of the sons of Israel, and sent orders to the prison house for them to be brought. But the officers who came did not find them in the prison, and they returned and reported back, saying, we found the prison house locked quite securely, and the guards standing at the doors, but when we had opened up, we found no one inside. Now when the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them as to what would come of this. But someone came and reported to them, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain went along with the officers and proceeded to bring them back without violence, for they were afraid of the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they stood them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intended to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter said, and the apostles answered and said, we must obey God rather than men. And the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you put to death by hanging him on a cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior, to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. But when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and were intending to slay them. But a certain Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up in the council, gave orders to put the men outside for a short time. And he said to them, men of Israel, take care what you propose to do with these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody, and a group of about 400 men joined up with him, and he was slain, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away some people after him. He too perished, and all those who followed him were scattered. And so in the present case, I say to you, stay away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or action should be of men, it will be overthrown. But it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them, or else you may even be found fighting against God. And they took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them to speak no more in the name of Jesus, and then released them. And so they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Amen. Amen. Wow. And so Acts chapter 4 is obviously a continuation of Acts. Acts chapter 5 is a continuation of Acts chapter 4. Remember, at the end of 4, Barnabas goes and sells his land. He lays it at the apostles' feet. And then now you have Ananias and Sapphira that come back and basically do the same thing, But now they kind of defraud the church, and more intently they, you know, lie to the Holy Spirit and to God. We'll talk about that in a moment. But, you know, it's interesting, this case. You know, Peter says, hey, you know, it was your land. You know, even when you sold it was your land, right? And so, they actually did a pretty good thing, right? We had our building fund, and we still have our building fund, by the way. You know, it hasn't changed yet. But, you know, and some people sold their apartments and, you know, and put their houses on the market and things like that. And, man, just great respect. You know what I mean? And so you can imagine Ananias and Sapphira here in this place. Man, great respect for them. You know, if they would have just taken, you know, the funds, they could have kept some back for themselves. You know, that was what Paul was saying to them. You know, but yet they decided that the outward appearance of godliness was more important than the action itself. You know, and sometimes we run into problems, you know, or we become legalistic, or, I mean, all kinds of situations happen because we get so fixated on the outward appearance of our piety. You know, and this is what's happening with these guys. They want to present an outward appearance of their godliness, you know, but, you know, I want to suggest to you that, man, their godliness was already intact, you know, in the sense that their act was, I mean, incredibly generous to begin with, right? But they lied, you know, and so, you know, Peter comes and he says an interesting phrase. He says, first of all, right, Satan has filled your heart and you have lied to the Holy Spirit. And then the next verse he says, and you've also lied to God. And so, you know, he brings up, you know, the two figures of the Trinity, but they're both distinct in their sin. Obviously, God, you know, when we sin against God. Remember when David sinned against Bathsheba, he said, to you and to you alone, O God, have I sinned. Right? And so, you know, David made it very clear that whatever wrong that he did, he projected this to the Lord. And so, yes, when we sin against God. So what is meant by this phrase, sinning against the Holy Spirit? You know, what does this mean to us in the context? What does it mean that we sin against the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, one of the main jobs of the Spirit in the church was to protect the unity of the body. And so anything that came against the unity of God's church, right, the enemy was offended. You know, Paul will later talk about being grieved or quenching, you know, these kind of things. And so these guys lied to God in their sin, right? But they also lied to the Holy Spirit. They offended the Holy Spirit because they broke down the unity of the church. Remember last week I talked about this is the beginning of the demonic assignment, right? And so the enemy comes from the outside, right? You know, outside forces are trying to crush the movement. And then the enemy comes from the inside, right? And so in Acts chapter 4, right, the Pharisees came and you know, took a hold of them, right, put them in jail. And now in Acts chapter 5, we see an attack from within. You know, and he always works like that, outside, inside, outside, inside. And later on in this chapter, we see another attack from the outside, where the leaders take him into prison again. And then Acts chapter 6, we see an attack from the inside, where there's a dispute about the feeding of the widows. You know, and so constantly, and so we need to be aware of these things, right? That that's not just outside forces that are against the church. Most likely, the most damaging of the attacks are actually stuff that's done from the inside. You know, and so, you know, I mean, you have to think about most people that you know, maybe don't go to church anymore, or maybe they go to church like twice a year as a religious duty. I guarantee, you know, a huge majority of them, right, felt betrayed by someone within the church. And so then they just kind of disappear, right? I mean, these things happen all the time. It hurts a little bit more, right? You know, and so we see an attack from inside the church, right? And so, you know, you have to be aware that you know, that there will be attacks, okay? You know, even, you know, moving into this place, right? I mean, there were all kinds of little dramas that were going on all over the place, right? You know, people pressing their own agendas, you know, they wanted this for their ministry and this and that, and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And, you know, but because we understand that the schemes of the enemy, it's undaunted. You know, it's like, okay, you know, take your best shot, all right? We just move on, you know? Don't make a big deal out of it and just move forward in that, because we are aware of what the enemy is doing. You know, the other side for us to recognize as well is any time that you speak against, right, the people of God, any time that you come against the leaders of God, you know, any time that you, you know, make a judgmental call, or, you know, are cynical, or, you know, or whatever the case may be, right? You've offended the Holy Spirit. You have grieved him. You know, that's why David, right, he was just so clear, right? And David just very simply said, right, that I will not touch God's anointed. You know, I mean, it doesn't mean that leaders are above reproach. It doesn't mean that at all. You know, but you know what? There is a way that you can confront, right? I mean, you can confront with the path towards reconciliation and restoration, or you can confront and be judgmental and gossip and all kinds of stuff and not even share with people. You know, I mean, you know, I mean, there are a few leaders that, you know, that I've butt heads, you know, with over the years, right? You know, and some of those episodes were actually very, very positive, you know, because it was just people that really loved the church, that loved me, you know, that just wanted to speak truth and, you know, just take care of any chinks in the armor. But there are others, right, that just had an agenda, you know, and they just wanted to, you know, for whatever reason, just to knock people down. You know, and so it's about the heart, and the moment you start doing that, right, is the moment you start going against God, you know, and the spirit gets quenched. And so these guys are in this place, and, you know, and we think, wow, this was pretty harsh. You know what I mean? Like, because, you know, some of you guys are thinking, oh my goodness, yeah, I've lied before. Am I going to die now? You know, but I want to say this was a special time. You know, you have to think about the early church. The church was pristine. I mean, the church was pure. You know, and now this is a first attack from within the church, and so God comes down hard. You know, in times of revival, in times of awakening, you know, you sin, right? And the consequences are much more dire, right? As opposed to, you know, other times, you know, that are operating in the life of the church. And so, you know, we need to be aware, because what the Lord is doing, the Lord is protecting this young band of believers, right? And he's just literally covering them so they could grow, you know, even more, you know, in these early stages. And it would be the same thing of like, you know, you have a baby, and obviously we have a baby, you know, and, you know, Elise and Emma, they'll play with things and they'll do stuff, and we'll be like, no big deal, you know what I mean? But Hannah will just touch something, and, you know, we'll go crazy, right? Well, more my wife, not necessarily me, right? You know, crazy in a good sense, you know, and just be very protective, and, you know what I mean? Like, you know, the kids can play with paper, right? It was no big deal, right? They're growing up now, but, you know, Emma or Hannah plays with paper. You know what she does? She eats it, you know, and I can't tell you how many times we've taken stuff out of her mouth, you know, that she wants to swallow, because, you know, at a young age, we have to protect them more. You know, because we have to keep them in a place where they can grow, you know, and then later on, the paper is not going to hurt them that much, you know, or little toys or, you know, these kind of things. And so, you know, and this is God's way of protecting his infant church, you know, to grow. And so sometimes these kind of things happen, you know, and the result was, it says, and great fear came upon the whole church. You know, this is a good thing, right? We like in 2011, you know, just, can I make this as a comment? We've just become so used to God, you know, so much taken for granted, right? Oh, God's my friend. I can do this. He'll forgive me. You know, this kind of attitude, you know, that we have, right? And the fear is gone. The Proverbs, right? Solomon writes, says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Right, you know, it comes, and the fear is not just the respect. The fear is holy terror, right? Just this under this very, how to say, this very healthy esteem of God, you know, that yeah, it's okay to be afraid of God. You know what I mean? God, you know, you heard me say this, right? God's dangerous. God's not safe. I mean, he's a dangerous guy, man. You know, he can, if he wants to wipe you off the face of the earth, he can. You know, he's more powerful than the CIA. You know what I mean? And stuff. And so, you know, when we think about this, we have to recognize God, he's, you know, he's not safe, but he's good. You know, and so we can trust him in that he'll work, you know, on our behalf and for our benefit. Right? His will is perfect. Right? His will is right, and it'll enable me to do his work. And so, you know, you come into this understanding. And so what happens? Fear comes upon. And so what happens when fear comes? Signs and wonders takes place. You know, when we have a right attitude towards God, God begins to move in our behalf. It's just one of those things, right? We begin to relate rightly with the Lord, right? And his hand of power is manifested. And so they gather together in Solomon's Porch. We talked about that the other day, right? And all kinds of incredible things happen. And now we have an attack on the outside. The religious leaders get together, you know, and they throw him in prison. But again, here's God at work. Notice every single time what the enemy, right, planned for harm, God turned into good, right? And in fact, he even gave them more confidence. It's almost as if God planned this whole thing. You know, they throw him into jail. And before, remember, the guys, the leaders couldn't touch them, especially their wisdom when they spoke. Now they get thrown into jail, no court, no nothing. And what happens? Now an angel comes and sets them free. I mean, they're like, they're moving up on the food chain in heaven. You know what I mean? An angel himself comes, totally sets them free, and they go back and start preaching. Right? And so can you imagine the temple, right, authorities come to them again and say, hey, we told you not to do this thing. Can you imagine how bold you are? It's like, what's the worst thing they can do to me? They've already sent us in jail a few times. The first time, we got released real easily. The second time, an angel came and set us free. And so the leaders are coming, and they're, I mean, this is right in your face. This is, hey, we got to obey God rather than you, you know, rather than men. You know, and they're invoking this God that by which is the authority that religious leaders are putting these guys in jail. You know, and so, you know, a whole debate, discourse happens. Gamaliel stands up. Gamaliel, remember, it was Paul's teacher or Saul's teacher. You know, Gamaliel stands up and so they kind of release him. But he says something. He says, you know, if it's a plan or action, it should be of men, it will be overthrown. In other words, it's not going to last. But it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow. This is verse 39. Or else you may even be found fighting against God. You know, we got to be careful that we ourselves are not fighting against God. You know, a lot of times, you know, I'll talk to people when you know, I have a debate or I share, you know, with people, especially, you know, some that come from very non-charismatic background or something and really make very disparaging remarks about charismatics or Pentecostals or the Holy Spirit and these things. And a lot of times, I'll just tell them really straight out, I says, hey, you know, you got to be really careful. You know, you got to be careful that you're not calling light darkness. You know, and I mean, just tread very lightly, you know, in this way, because you may be fighting against God, right? And, you know, I mean, and sometimes, you know, that's very well the case, not just in those situations, but a lot of situations, you know, that we think we're just so righteous, right? And as a result, because we don't have God's heart, you know, nor his mind, we can very easily make mistakes. And so what happens? What's the end result? These guys, they said, okay, let's flog them, right? So these guys get whipped. Was that the intended purpose? No, you know what happens after that? These guys get whipped and then they go back and they rejoice. They're like, oh, we suffer for Jesus. Finally, you know, and they go back rejoicing and they get right back on the street preaching what they've always been preaching. I mean, just amazing. You know, the enemy planned to bring them down, planned to quench this early movement called the life and called the way. And instead, it totally backfires on them. You know, God has a plan in this thing. Can you imagine these guys get whipped? I mean, they get beat up. And they leave the place, and they rejoice, dancing, they're laughing, they're so happy. You know, can you imagine how different our lives would be that if we endured some suffering, that we'd be so happy about it? I just want to suggest it, right? You know, I mean, can you imagine how, you know, the church would be so different? Because usually when we go through suffering, we usually say, oh, God, why me? You know, oh, God, you don't love me. Right? Can you imagine if we had the heart of the apostles, right? And they went through a little bit of suffering, right? And, well, this is a really important point, okay? They suffered on the behalf of the Lord. It's not like they slept with their boyfriend and got pregnant and now they're suffering. You know what I mean? It's just like they were suffering unto God and stuff. But, you know, but they endured something, you know, and then they had this attitude like, wow, Lord, we're worthy, you know. And you know, I think life would be very, very different, you know. You know, when I was in youth ministry early on, I had this propensity to get injured. you know, especially like on the mission field, you know, I mean, just all kinds of things would happen. We go on mission trips to Mexico, and you know, I get run over by a truck, and you know, I go to Hong Kong, you know, I tear my knee out, and you know, I mean, just so many accidents begin to happen, especially during trips, you know. And my students, because they were so zealous, you know, they would, I mean, you know, they're a bit crazy, but they would say, "Oh, Pastor Sam, you're so lucky. You know, you get to suffer for the Lord. You know, you get hurt on trips and, you know, when's my turn?" You know, kind of thing, right? And yeah, at first you're like, man, you're kind of crazy, man, right? It's like there's something wrong with you. But it's that heart, you know. Lord, am I worthy to suffer in your name? What a stark, stark contrast to most of our attitudes today when we go through suffering, right? You know, Paul, you know, Didn't he say something to his spiritual son Timothy about all who desire to live godly will be persecuted? You know, and I mean, aren't there verses like that in the scriptures that talk about, you know, God sustaining those, you know, that go through these times? I mean, look through all, read the whole of the book of Psalm, especially David's Psalm, you know, and so I think it's time for an attitude adjustment. Instead of saying, "God, why me?" or "God, you don't love me," how about, "God, what are your purpose in this? Lord, how are you going to redeem the situation?" Remember, Paul also wrote in Romans 8, right? God causes all things to work for good to those that love him and are called according to his purposes. God doesn't call all things to work for good, period, but it's those that love him and that are called according to his purposes. You know, I think we need an attitude adjustment this morning. Amen? Let's close our eyes, and as Ji-sun leads us in a song, let's ask Holy Spirit to speak to us. Let's ask the Lord to give us wisdom and insight into maybe difficulties that are going on in our lives. And instead of a woe is me mentality, that God would shift it in us. And so be, Lord, thank you. Gratitude. Grace.
This love.
And let's pray this morning. Let's really pray for God's perspective on suffering, on trials, and difficulties. Let's ask Holy Spirit to speak to us, maybe about our situation. And let's pray for an attitude of rejoicing. Remember Paul said in Philippians, rejoice, and I say again to you, rejoice. Do not be anxious for anything, but in all things, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And a lot of times we repeat the latter part of that verse, but the beginning says, rejoice. Again, I say to you, rejoice. I know it's a tough call to say, hey, let's rejoice in our sufferings. But see, that's only made possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's just go and let's pray over ourselves. Let's pray over our church. And let's ask God to change our attitudes. Huh? Let's also pray for our community that's suffering in many ways, mostly through illness or joblessness. And let's just lift up, let's continue to remember to pray for Belinda. She's got a few weeks before she has her surgery. But, you know, let's pray that God would just remove the tumor supernaturally. Let's pray for Charles Han's dad. Ask God to continue to touch and heal him. Pray for Krista's aunt, for Alex's dad, for Janine. For Jeff and Janella's grandparents. The grandfather passed away last week, but the other grandfather and the grandmother is still ill. So let's cover them. Pray for Peter and Doris Wagner. Pray for Matthew's aunt. Pray for my aunt. Pray for Kian's mom. And also lift up Charles Kim's niece. So we mentioned this last week. Charles Kim, if you guys don't know, is Chris Lee's best friend. He plays basketball with us in the Saturdays. And his niece, a two-year-old niece named Lizzie, she has a brain tumor the size of a baseball in her head. And so they had surgery last week. They removed some of it. They can remove all of it because it's in a very precarious situation. But the cancer apparently is very aggressive. And so she's in a coma right now. And they had to do stuff, and the brain got the swelling down a little bit through the medications, and so these next 3 days are vital. And so if she doesn't wake up, I think they're going to consider her to be brain dead. And so let's really pray for a miracle. You know, this precious little 2-year-old girl. And so let's cover the family during this time. And let's also remember to pray for our friends that are looking for work, for Mark Starnes, for John Kang, Genevieve, Katharina, Vivian, and we'll throw on there John Lee in Korea, who wants to move back to Hong Kong. Pray that the door would open for him. And so let's just pray for our community and people that are suffering, that God would just give them perspective. And more than that, that God would answer their prayers. So let's cover. Thank you. Let's pray for our mission focus, and let's lift up China, and let's ask God to continue to breathe His wind through this place. Let's pray for the Chung family, ask God to continue to lead them. John is away on a trip, quite a far trip, and let's just cover his travels and his ministry. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents. Pray for Leanne Cheng, especially as she's taking over the duty now more of taking care of the kids, especially as Janine starts her chemo and has to go to Shanghai every couple weeks. So let's lift her up. Let's pray for the kids in Chichihar. Pray for the government, the churches, and the Beijing church plant. Pray for Chris and his family and Pastor Sam Kim and his family. They'll be here this Saturday. And so let's just cover their travels back to Hong Kong. Let's just lift up China, and let's ask God's hand to be with this nation. Let's lift up the SP staff and the elder board and the missions committee. Let's pray for these leaders and that they would just love God with all of their heart, that every decision they make would be soaked in prayer and would just ooze the will of God and the mind of Christ. And let's just pray for God's protection over their families and over their work and their ministries. So let's just cover our leaders. Let's pray for the Indonesian ministry and pray for Pastor Selamat, his ministry here in Hong Kong, also in Meifu. Let's ask for God's hand to be upon all the congregants in the ministry that would continue to grow before the Lord and for the Korean church, that they would just also continue to grow and really prosper during this time. Let's just pray. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray for Lan Kwai Fong, Old Peak, Harborfront, Seymour, and Star Street. Pray for the leaders. Pray for a real time of anointed teaching and fellowship and just a breaking of bread and sharing with one another for community. Let's pray that our hearts would just really be knit to one another and whatever they're studying today, that there would be a spirit of wisdom and revelation that comes. Let's lift up. And lastly, let's pray for our conference coming this weekend. Pray for Pastor Rob and for Sean Smith. And let's ask the Lord's hand to be with them. They're be getting on airplanes fairly soon in the next few days, and pray for a safe journey here, rested journey, and pray that God would just give him the message of the Lord, the now word for our congregation, and they would just have the energy to minister. You know, the church has grown since they've been here last, and so, you know, our heart is that, you know, hopefully everyone will get ministered to. I don't know if that's a possibility, you know, but, you know, that would be our goal. And so let's pray for hearts to be open, to be hungry, to receive God's word during this time. Let's pray that the sanctuary be filled with people and the presence of God, and that a real significant life-changing ministry would occur in our congregation. And so let's just cover this weekend, cover the worship teams as they're leading worship for the ministry teams, and let's just pray for God's hand to be with us throughout this weekend, that there would really be a heart to celebrate and be grateful to the Lord for what he's done for us. Huh? Let's just lift up. Lord, we just thank you, God. We bless you so much, Lord, for just loving us, God, for taking such good care of us, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would help us, give us wisdom, understanding, Lord, especially when we go through times of suffering and difficulties, God, hardships. Lord, that we wouldn't question your love, God, but we would, Lord, ask for revelation, Lord, to see what you're doing in the midst of this, God, to see your perspective, God. And Lord, let there even be rejoicing, Father God, in our hearts. And Lord, just continue to draw us to you as a church. God, Lord, we just want to love you more every day, God. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day. Please stick around and pray. If it's too cold, let us know. I see everyone shivering for some reason. It's actually on low, but maybe we have to put it on low or something. All right, so bless you guys, huh?